Today's episode of the Sacktown Royalty Show is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider in spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want.
It's the Sacktown Royalty Show. Here's your host, Greg Wissinger.
Welcome to the Sacktown Royalty Show. I'm your host, Greg Wissinger, and I'll be flying solo for this episode. But since it can get a little bit lonely when I'm here by myself, I have your questions to keep me warm. These are questions that were submitted through Twitter using the hashtag AskSTRShow, so send me questions that you want answered on the podcast. I'm going to try to check that hashtag more regularly, and that way we can incorporate more of your questions into the show. But before we get to that, a few random thoughts I've had over the past week. The Kings are definitely a far worse team without DeMarcus Cousins. That's pretty obvious, but it doesn't seem to stop Kings fans from freaking out every time the Kings lose a game without DeMarcus. He's the team right now. Nobody can do it alone, but he is the most important player on the Kings, and the team is going to struggle to ever get a win without him on the floor. That's plain and simple. If he's out, assume it's going to be a loss, and you know anything else is just bonus. Now, does that mean the Kings didn't improve their depth? Absolutely not. The Kings are definitely a much deeper team than they were last season. But the team's also very dependent on what Cousins does on both the offensive and defensive ends of the floor, that it's incredibly difficult for the team to adjust when he's suddenly out of the picture. We just have to accept that there's going to be an adjustment period there, that you can't completely change the scheme when a player who's as important on both sides of the floor as DeMarcus is suddenly out of the game. Oh, and we had another asinine rumor that the Kings were chasing Calipari. So listen closely. Calipari ain't leaving Kentucky for the Kings. It's just not happening. And far more importantly than that, kids, never listen to Rick Bucher. All right, on that note, let's move on to your questions. Our first question is from Paul Rice Jr. at Who is Paul Rice? As poorly as we have played, I feel if we could just protect the basketball, we make the playoffs. Is it really much deeper? Well, protecting the ball is definitely going to help. Right now, the Kings are averaging about 17.4 turnovers per game, according to Basketball Reference. Per Basketball Reference, that's the most turnovers per game the Kings have averaged since 1995-96 season. That means they're averaging more turnovers per game than any Kings team in the past 20 years. Think about the Kings teams that we've watched over the past decade and how bad some of them were at protecting the ball, and this year's team is worse. That's insane. Now, it's a long season. It could still end up being a little bit different than that. The numbers may not be where they are right now. At least we hope not by the end of the year. But while protecting the basketball is going to help, there's obviously a lot more to it than that. For the Kings to make a run and have a chance at the playoffs, they're going to need to stay healthy. DeMarcus Cousins, Rudy Gay, and Darren Collison have all missed time already. Those three are very important, and those three especially need to stay healthy for the Kings. They also need the defense to be better, and the Kings need a lot of other dominoes to fall in place. They're playing in the West. The West is difficult. You have to have a lot of luck go into it. I mean, maybe the Rockets don't figure it out. That definitely helps when the team that was the number two team in the West last year is suddenly out of the picture. If that maintains its current course, that's the type of domino that needs to happen for the Kings to have a shot at the playoffs. But there's a lot more to it than that. You know, limiting turnovers is going to help, but it's not the only thing holding the team back. Oh, and a silver lining on the turnovers, the Kings' turnover percentage on the season is currently at 14.4%, but that's only ninth highest in the league. The Bucks, Pacers, Raptors, Grizzlies, Pistons, Hawks, Jazz, and Celtics all have higher turnover percentages. The Celtics are the highest right now at 17.4%, and they're like fourth place in the East. I mean, I know it's the East, but I mean, still, they're like 7-5 at the time I'm recording this. So, just listen to those teams again. the Raptors, the Grizzlies, the Pistons, the Hawks, the Jazz, the Celtics, I mean, those aren't terrible teams. The turnover percentage doesn't seem to have a direct correlation to how good your team is, at least not this early in the season. Next question comes from Jay Burdick, who's at GoodnightPunk32. Why so little Rondo and Willie Cauley-Stein pick and roll? Well, for there to be a Rondo and Willie Cauley-Stein pick and roll, Willie Cauley-Stein would actually have to get minutes. But my anger at George Karl not playing Willie Cauley-Stein more notwithstanding, I think it has a lot to do with how defenses aren't going to respect Rondo's shot. If you run pick and roll with Rondo and anyone, the defense is going to sag underneath to prevent Willie Cauley-Stein or whoever else from rolling hard for a lob or a dunk or an easy shot. Rondo's shooting just isn't good enough to force the defense to respect it and create the difficulties that you want out of a pick and roll. Now, there's definitely times when you can still run it with Rondo, but I think some of it specifically with Willie Cauley-Stein also has to do with teams aren't going to respect his shot, so there's no threat there for either one of them to really shoot, and you need that for a good pick and roll to work. Next question comes to us from Sacktown Baby Giraffe, which it might be my favorite Twitter name that I've seen here today, but it's at TimMaxwell22. Rondo's been the best point guard the Kings have seen in years. What is a fair contract in the offseason? 3 years, $40 million? Honestly, that's a great question, and I have no idea how to answer it. We saw this past summer just how crazy the money's about to get in the NBA. 3 years, $40 million sounds fair to me. I mean, $15 million is probably more than what you would want to pay Rondo under the current mindset. But I think it's tough to know what the market's going to be. We know the number's going to be higher, so maybe 15 a year or whatever 3 and 40 comes out to be. That's not even 15 a year. That's probably low. The numbers this coming offseason are going to sound insane, and it's just because the cap is increasing so much, and we're going to have to recalibrate our idea of what players are worth. Our next question comes from Simon Marquez, SR Marquez 22. How do we get rid of Rudy Gay? Guy's a cancer on the floor. All right, I'm sorry, this is just stupid. I don't mean to be rude, but that's stupid. The backlash against Rudy Gay has gone too far. I'm unhappy with how Rudy isn't passing very often, his shooting's been an issue, but come on, to say the guy's a cancer, or to even suggest that the Kings need to get rid of him, that's just dumb, it's short-sighted, we need to stop. Stop. Rudy's on a contract that's a great value compared to his production. It's going to be a good value again next year, especially when the money starts to jump up. And it's also worth noting that Rudy Gay's worst performances, especially his tunnel vision issues, have mostly come when DeMarcus Cousins is out of the game. You know, when he's either not on the floor with Rudy or when he's been injured or suspended. But when Rudy Gay is the primary option and doesn't have a dominant big man, he's not nearly as effective. We know this. It's why he wasn't good in Toronto. It's why he was good with the Grizzlies. It's why he was good when he came back to Sacramento. So when DeMarcus isn't there, expect Rudy Gay to be bad. It goes back to what I said before. You need DeMarcus Cousins for the Kings' entire system to work. Rudy hasn't started the season well, but it's a long season. We've seen enough of Rudy in Sacramento to know that he's a valuable member of the team. The backlash against him has gone way too far. Last question that we'll be able to get to tonight is from Daryl Bakioglu. Bakioglu, I apologize. Why are the Kings the worst defensive team in the NBA? Isn't this ridiculous that they have defensive players? Okay, so the defense hasn't been good, but they're not the worst in the league. I mean, right now, the Pelicans and Rockets are both giving up more points per game. Several teams are allowing opponents to shoot a better overall field goal percentage. And the Kings are actually, at least according to the Basketball Reference current stats, the Kings are holding opponents below league average from beyond the arc. So, I mean, there's positive signs there. And they do have some defensive players. I'd say that we should expect the defense to improve this year. You know, Kosta Koufos and Willie Cauley-Stein are definitely better defenders than Jason Thompson and Carl Landry. So the Kings should have taken a step forward in defense. But aside from those two, what stellar defenders did the Kings add exactly? Marco Bellinelli's known for being a bad defender. Rajon Rondo hasn't been a great defender in years. He got by for quite a while in reputation, and he definitely has had a lot of defensive lapses in Sacramento. I mean, I guess James Anderson's a defensive guy. Maybe. I guess. But I also don't want him on the floor a lot. I want to see Bellinelli and Ben McAdoo. But, yeah, so the Kings should be better, but let's not pretend they added elite defensive players all over the place. The issue I see with the defense, and I think all of us see it, is that the scheme's an issue. Carl wants the players switching, but not necessarily switching at every opportunity, but because it's complicated and the team has struggled to implement it, it's resulting in bad matchups and defensive confusion and blown assignments. The players are either going to figure it out with time, or Carl's going to have to adjust the scheme. Patience is an ugly word, I guess, right now, because we're all anxious for the season to get on track and be the 50-plus win team that some of us thought it was going to be, but that was never realistic. And we just have to wait and hope that, you know, one of those two things happens. The players start figuring it out, working better, communicating better, or Carl changes what he's asking them to do. So that's going to do it for this week. So again, the solo shows are going to be shorter. Definitely appreciate the questions. I think they're good questions, and the more questions you guys submit, the more I'll have to talk about when I do need to do a solo show. So keep those questions coming. Hashtag AskSCRShow. In the meantime, go to iTunes, subscribe to the show, never miss an episode, leave us a rating, leave us a comment, let us know how we're doing. Appreciate all of those feedback pieces. For everyone who has left feedback, I do go in, I check it all. I'm desperate for your approval. But no, I'm just kidding. I want the feedback, good, bad, or otherwise. You can also find us on Stitcher and coming soon to Google Play. And then, of course, go to sacktownroyalty.com. Let us know how we're doing. Engage in the conversation. Let us know what you like and don't like. We're always looking to improve the show. Last time I had to do a solo pod, I got feedback from most of you that, yeah, you'd rather have solo podcasts than no podcast, which, hey, I think you're crazy for wanting to listen to me this much, but I appreciate the feedback, and now we're giving it to you. So that's going to do it for this week. Until next time, thanks for listening. Get a free audiobook and 30-day trial today by signing up at www.audibletrial.com/sacktownroyalty. That's www.audibletrial.com/sacktownroyalty.